morning.
Good morning, Wilfred.
I started talking, I guess, a couple weeks ago now about the three essentials for Zen practice: great faith, great doubt, and great determination. And since I gave the talk on great faith, some time has passed, so just one little paragraph from that talk. So, great faith is necessary for a strong practice. And ordinarily, we think of having faith as faith in someone, something external to ourselves, like a god, a higher power, a guru, a Zen teacher. But in Zen, we're asked to have faith in ourselves, in our own intrinsic or true nature. We are asked to have faith that if we practice diligently, we will realize this true nature. So that's the heart of having faith. We have to trust that we are inherently enlightened. And that sounds easy, but it's not necessarily so. So this is today's great doubt. And Zen Master Hakuin is one of Buddhism's most renowned teachers. I'm sure many of you know, have heard of him. And he was not only a Zen teacher, but also an accomplished artist and calligrapher. And his ink brush paintings and calligraphy are prized throughout the ages for their freshness and their vibrancy. And it is said that Hakuin's influence on Zen was incalculable, or is incalculable. So during the time that Hakuin became a teacher, the Rinzai school — now there's two schools, two traditions in Zen. One is the Rinzai tradition, which is very simple, but is based on sudden enlightenment. And a lot of times you'll see that this happens through koan practice. You sit with a koan, and then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. It all opens up. Now that's for drama's sake. It doesn't necessarily have to be with a loud crash. But anyway, so it's sudden. Whereas Sōdo is gradual, very much like Suzuki Roshi and all San Francisco, all the offshoots of San Francisco. That's Sōdo Zen. And, you know, neither one is better than the other. It has mostly to do with temperament. Now today, currently though, they're not separate anymore. You know, we do have groups that practice in the Rinzai tradition and also in the Sōdo position, but in the White Plum tradition, which is what I'm a member of, which is started by Mizumi Roshi, the two are blended together. So there's not necessarily, you know, you have to have some, sudden enlightenment, or you have to have someone that takes place slowly over time. It's usually based on the temperament of the student, in which way the teacher guides that student. So as I was saying, the Rinzai school had been in decline for more than 300 years, and Hakuin is credited for single-handedly reviving it. And he so thoroughly influenced Rinzai Zen teachers who came after him that Rinzai Zen was frequently referred to as Hakuin Zen. Now, above all else, Hakuin stressed that Zazen was the most important part of practice. And I share that view. I think, really, without sitting, there is no genuine Zen practice. So in terms of doubt, usually we think of doubt as a lack of confidence in ourselves. And as a result of lacking confidence, we feel less of ourselves. And that's sort of the psychological understanding of doubt. But how do we understand doubt in the context of Zen practice? So I would explain it this way. From the time that we enter the world, we construct an elaborate set of ideas and perceptions about who we are and who we are in relationship to all of life. And based on this set of ideas and perceptions, we establish an identity. who we think we are. The notion of who we think we are. Now, additionally, we have feelings, we have sensations, and we have emotions, which we experience in both our body and our mind, that solidify this identity on every level of our being. So it's not, to most the greatest extent, it's who we think we are. It's a creation that comes from mind. But every time, I don't know if you've ever become aware of it, but every time we have a thought, connected to that thought can be some kind of emotion or some kind of bodily sensation. But because of that, the thought becomes, as we would say, embodied. So it's very deep-seated, this belief of who we think we are. And so over time, this identity becomes so commonsensical, so familiar, that we never question it. And this identity is based on a dualistic idea of ourselves in relation to the world around us. It's the idea or perception that there's a me, and that there's a you, and that there's a me, and there's the rest of life. Many of us, most of us, function in that way. And we rely so heavily and unquestioningly on this idea that we live and act as if it were the ultimate truth. Now, when we take up the practice of Zen, and start sitting, Zazen in particular, the rug can be pulled out from under these perceptions and these ideas. And we're confronted with questions that can't be answered in the way that we are used to answering questions, the ways on which we are used to perceiving who we are and what the world is. And this experience can suddenly produce profound doubt. I want to hold on to who that guy in the mirror is. So this is a story. I don't remember where it came from, but somewhere it's in there in my head. And it's about an overly confident Columbia University professor. And this guy was a widely published expert in Buddhist studies. And he went to visit a famous contemporary Rinzai Zen master, Soen Roshi, who has actually died, but he was part of the Zen movement to the United States from Japan. So anyway, this widely published expert in Buddhist studies went to visit Soen Roshi because he wanted to find out more about the practice of Zen for a book that he was writing. So while the Roshi was quietly serving tea, this is sort of a humorous, I can picture this. Anyway, while the Roshi was quietly serving tea, the professor talked on and on about Zen Buddhism. And while he was listening, Soen Roshi poured the visitor's cup of tea to the brim, and then he kept pouring. And the professor watched the overflowing cup of tea until he could no longer contain himself. He yells out, "It's over full!" And Soen Roshi says to him, "You are like this cup. How can I show you Zen unless you first empty your cup?" So I imagine that in that moment, the expert professor became filled with doubt, having nothing to hold on to, is being challenged to experience life free of who he thinks he is and what he thinks the world is about. And this, it's a true story, by the way. This is not fiction. So to really sit, we must question all of our most cherished beliefs and be willing to have them uprooted. We must be willing to have who we think we are turned upside down. We must be ready to empty ourselves, to surrender all that we hold dear. So I wonder how many of you are here today to have your life turned upside down. Now, the trick about this is that doubt that can arise from this process is not negative. Usually we think of doubt, as I started out, negative. But in Zen, it's not negative. It's a sign that we are beginning to penetrate the heart of Zen, that we are preparing to experience who we really are. So if, as a result of practice, we are filled with doubt, we're in good company. The famous Zen master Dogen, who is considered by many the greatest religious and creative figure in Japanese history, and he's one of the seminal Zen teachers in our lineage. Yet at a young age, he was consumed with doubt when he read the following. All the doctrines set forth by the Buddha teach that we are inherently enlightened beings from birth. If this is so, why do all Buddhas, past, present, and future, seek enlightenment? So he was unable to resolve the doubt that was caused by this paradox, and he set out on a journey that took him first to see Zen master Isai, and then to China, where he visited a variety of renowned teachers and monasteries. And for 2 years, Dogen studied and sat day and night until he finally realized what he called liberation of body and mind. There is nothing to seek. So he freed himself from the delusions created by the ideas and preconceptions to which he held so tightly, the ideas which prevented him from realizing that he was inherently enlightened all along. And in that moment, when he emptied himself of ideas and preconception, the truth of the statement, enlightenment is inherent, was revealed. John Tarrant, Roshi, this is a beautiful poetic expression. He says, the song of enlightenment came to him. The song of enlightenment came to him. So for the rest of your life, keep a straight yet relaxed spine and allow your breath to flow in and out of your body naturally, and let the song of enlightenment come to you. And lastly, trust your doubt. It is a great teacher. Thank you.